Chapter 17. The Confession. Early the next morning, I heard the sound of birds, and then the voices of Quive Smith and another man, presumably his assistant. Then there was silence, and I understood that the new man was now on guard and that Quive Smith had left. I sat by the ventilation hole and thought about various plans for escape. The first, as Quive Smith had suggested, was to cut my way out over the top of the door, but I knew that was impossible. As Quive Smith had said, the minute my head appeared, I would be shot. I would make so much noise that the guard would have plenty of time to prepare to shoot. The second chance for escape was through the chimney. They hadn't blocked it as well as they had thought. The large piece of wood hadn't blocked the whole length of it, and part of the chimney was still open. I could dig a new passage through the earth there. I would have to work silently so that the noise wouldn't be heard outside, but I thought this was possible. I crawled into the small opening and began to dig with my knife, working silently and very carefully. It was difficult for me to breathe because there was no fresh air coming in through the chimney. It was slow work, and as time passed, I had less and less energy. Finally, I lost consciousness. After some time, I regained consciousness and eventually began digging again. I worked slowly for short periods of time, separated by long pauses to breathe. I had very little space to move and nowhere to put the earth that I dug out. The day passed quickly. That evening I was lying at the ventilation hole when I heard Quive Smith's voice.
"Good evening. Everything has gone very well," he said. "We'll have you out of there in an hour. Free to go home. Free to do anything you want. I'm very happy for you. I've got great respect for you, you know."
"I doubt that very much," I replied. "So what are your conditions for my release?" He pushed a paper down the ventilation hole with a stick. I took it, also with a stick.
"Just sign that and you're free," he said. "There's only one restriction. You must promise not to leave England. We'll leave you at complete liberty in your own country, but if you try to leave England, we'll kill you. I think you'll agree that. After what you did, it's a reasonable condition."
I asked him for a torch, as I didn't want to light candles and so use up precious oxygen. He pushed his torch down the hole without hesitation. He knew by this time that he could force me to give it back. The paper they wanted me to sign was quite simple. It was a confession that on the 8th of August, I had tried to assassinate their leader, that I had done this with the knowledge of the British government, and that I had been released without any punishment on condition that I stayed in England. The document was signed by their chief of police and by a London lawyer. I gave him back the torch with the paper unsigned. "I don't get involved in politics, and I don't sign lies," I said. Quive Smith was silent for a few moments. Finally, he said, "I think that it would make it a lot easier for both of us if you told me why you tried to assassinate our leader."
"I told your people long ago," I replied impatiently. "I wanted to see whether it was possible, and anyway, his death would be no great loss to the world."
"So you actually intended to shoot," he said,
accepting my statement quite naturally.
"I couldn't really help you, you see, until you had confessed that."
I realized that I had finally confessed the truth to him and to myself.
"Yes," I said, "I intended to shoot."
"I see. Tell me, did anyone know of your plans?"
Quive Smith asked.
"No, nobody. I acted alone, not on the orders of the government," I answered. "You must believe that."
"Very well," said Quive Smith. "But here's what I'd really like to know. Why do you hate us so much that you were prepared to murder the leader of our country? What were your motives? You said that you're not interested in politics, and I believe you. I can't imagine that your motives were personal."
"Personal? But what else could they be?" Quive Smith had made me understand myself. No man would do what I had done unless he were mad with grief and anger. I moved away from the ventilation hole and lay down to think. Quive Smith was still speaking, but I could no longer hear him.